Well, as we've been reporting already this morning, the former TV host and celebrity gardener, Don Burke, has become the latest target of sexual harassment complaints. Don Burke appeared on Channel 9 last night, that's his former employer, to deny the allegations, saying he's a victim of a witch hunt.
It's the social media, the Twitter sphere thing. I guess they've stirred this up, this the Harvey Weinstein thing, and we've got a witch hunt. I'm prepared to cop the fact that I might have terrified a few people or whatever and so on. And that I shouldn't have done that and so on. But these sort of things bear no relationship to who I am and what I'm about.
That's Don Burke speaking last night on A Current Affair with Tracy Grimshaw. But since that broadcast and since the allegations broke publicly about Don Burke yesterday morning, the sexual harassment allegations against him have widened. Now more than 200 people have come forward with claims of relentless bullying and lewd conduct by the former TV host. Former Olympic swimmer Susie O'Neill has told Fairfax Media the host of Burke's Backyard made, quote, lewd and belittling remarks to her while she was being filmed in the lead-up to the 2000 Olympics. One of the more disturbing elements of the case is the apparent indifference of media bosses who were apparently aware of the allegations but did nothing about it. It was television journalist Tracy Spicer, an investigation into sexual harassment in the media, that triggered the revelations against Don Burke. She sent out a tweet after the hashtag MeToo social media campaign in the wake of the Harvey Weinstein revelations, and that's what kicked off this latest investigation. Tracy Spicer joins us. Tracy, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
More than 200 people have contacted you and Fairfax Media since the allegations against Don Burke were published yesterday. These are all in relation to Don Burke, am I right? He says it's a witch hunt. What do you say?
This number has actually grown since then. In fact, Fran, 200 have contacted Kate McClymont and the team at Fairfax. I've woken up this morning to another 150, some about Don Burke, others about other alleged offenders. And what it says to me is it's a pattern of behaviour, and not only showing indifference on behalf of network executives, but actual negligence. This is not just turning a blind eye. This is actively covering it up. It's also promoting the perpetrators, moving them to a different site in a way that we saw in the institutional cases, the Royal Commission into Child Sexual Abuse, but also promote silencing or sacking or sidelining the victims through confidentiality agreements. And I am hoping that this story, this ongoing investigation, will break that protection racket open.
Okay, I want to come to the what you call the protection racket in a moment. Can we just stay with Don Burke and his denials for a moment? Because he gave that long interview on Channel 9 last night, denying he'd made lewd and menacing sexual references and advances. He said, I wouldn't say those things to people. If I said I didn't say them, then I didn't say them. He did admit he was an angry man, a tough taskmaster, a bear with a sore head was a quote he used often. He even admitted he may have been a bully. Do the allegations that you've been hearing from men and women who worked with Don Burke go beyond bullying and bad temper?
I watched that interview last night. Don Burke is, of course, entitled to defend himself. This is a democracy. However, what I can tell you very clearly is after a robust investigation over a period of a month, the weight of evidence is overwhelming. We are not just talking about perfectionism here. We are not just talking about bullying here. We are talking about a series of women, and I'm talking about dozens upon dozens of women, some off the record, some on the record, coming out and saying he sexually harassed me, he indecently assaulted me. Because the weight of evidence is so overwhelming, we had the legal clearance to be able to run this on ABC and on Fairfax yesterday. And I think if you look at the Susie O'Neill story today, it goes beyond these allegations of disgruntled employees. I think the stories speak for themselves.
As you say, Susie O'Neill's not even close to a disgruntled employee or someone bearing a grudge. And what she describes him saying to her was so quite disgusting and overtly sexual when he was just filming at her home. Now, some people, though, might say, well, those are just words. He's foul-mouthed. That doesn't make him an abuser. A lot of these women do report feeling belittled and humiliated and scarred by things he said to them. Where's the line between foul mouth and sexual harassment, and between sexual harassment and sexual assault, which is a very clear distinction, isn't it?
It's a really good question. I think a lot of women who've been sexually harassed in the workplace or outside of the workplace, in the case of, you know, a show like Don Burke filming on site at people's homes, aren't making the distinction clear enough when it comes to touching and groping and grabbing. That's actually indecent assault. Mm. And women, if they so choose, can take it to the police. Sexual harassment can be anything that is physical but also verbal. And that kind of belittling and sexualized language is not only incredibly demeaning to women, but if you are working in an industry and you're surrounded by that kind of language over a period of years, it forces you out of the industry because you think, well, this is not the kind of environment that I deserve to work in. It makes it not a safe workplace for women. And that's why we see so many women leaving a lot of male-dominated industries where men have positions of power and women have much lower positions.
Tracy, how much, though, should any allegations be seen in the context of the times when newsrooms, like a lot of workplaces, were sexist, where talk was ribald? Does that make this behaviour any less sinister, any more acceptable, or is this something different?
It's beyond a fine line between what is a ribald joke and what is serial sexual harassment. I think that we all have a pretty good sense of humour in this industry, and we know the difference between something that is creepy and feels threatening and something that is generally meant as a little bit of good fun. And the people we are looking at in this investigation are ones who've well and truly crossed that line.
You're listening to RM Breakfast. Our guest is former TV journalist Tracy Spicer. You've said the industry operates a protection racket, and you already talked to us this morning about, you know, indifference and negligence. The former boss of Channel 9, David Leckie, has described Don Burke as, quote, a horrible, horrible man. His predecessor, Sam Chisholm, who was the boss of 9 when Burke was there, describes him as a terrible crub, a disgrace. Why didn't they say that earlier and do something to stop the behaviour? Is there a culture of concealment on sexual harassment when the targets are big earners for their employees? And is that only historical?
This is the most important question that has arisen from this investigation, because speaking to, almost 60 former colleagues and former managers and executives of the Don Burke Show, both within CTC Productions and at Channel 9, Everybody knew. And the most senior executives, you know, said to me, look, we had complaints, but what could we do about it? And these are people who are in positions of power who could have done something about it. And what they mean by that is Don Burke was a huge star and he was, quote, the cash cow for the network. Mm. They felt they couldn't stop him because he had so much monetary power within the network. And they're all handballing blame to each other, but that goes to show that it's systemic. And what I would say is this is a huge issue of corporate governance and reputational risk. I know that people like Hugh Marks from Channel 9 have come out and said, look, that culture doesn't exist there now. Well, I'm here to tell you that that culture does exist. In most of the media organisations, there is this kind of covering up of allegations of sexual harassment. Mm. Certainly, they're not as obvious as they used to be back in the day. They're more subtle. But there is still a boys' club at the very top echelons, and people just want to keep the dollars flowing in, particularly in this time of the fragmentation of mass media.
Okay, so Channel 9, as you say, is distancing itself from Don Burke allegations. It's described them as unacceptable, would not be tolerated at Nine today, and Channel 9 has launched an internal investigation. Do you welcome that? Is that enough or too little, too late?
I welcome an internal investigation, absolutely. I worry that it's going to be some kind of whitewash. What we need is a root and branch change to media organisations to protect women so they are safe within their workplaces.
And just to interrupt you there, Tracy, I mean, you've written that just 2 weeks ago at a board meeting of one of our largest media companies, directors were joking about other high-profile harassment cases. How did you know that?
I know that because I have been talking to a lot of people within media organisations at executive and board level, a lot of whistleblowers at the very top end of these companies, again, absolutely anonymously, because they want to change the culture and they feel that even they don't have the power at that level because the culture is so entrenched and has been entrenched for decades. And this is why you've got people like Elizabeth Proust, chairperson of the AICD, saying we need stronger whistleblower protections. It's why you've got lawyers coming out talking about potential for group and class actions to change this culture where even the executives and whistleblower board members can't change it.
And Tracy, just finally, you've been, as you say, getting messages this morning, 150 overnight, not just about Don Burke, and in your initial shout-out, you got allegations about others. Will you be publishing allegations involving other high-profile men in the media?
Yes, we will continue this investigation for some years because of the weight of evidence and the number of people. And it took 4 or 5 weeks to build the evidence around the Don Burke story. It will be a long, very deep investigation. And look, I for one am pleased that women finally have the confidence to be able to speak out.
Tracy Spicer, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
Tracy Spicer is a journalist, national convener of Women in the Media, and the author of The Good Girl Stripped Bare. Her investigation into allegations of sexual harassment in the media, she was working with Fairfax Media and the ABC Investigative Unit, led to the reporting of the Don Burke allegations.